Hi, Gideon Rothstein here with a responsibility day for you for the third day of ER. Let's thank the OU and Rabbi Jacob Bromwitz and David Hochhauser for putting these shiurim out there, letting you have the access to them that you'd like. Today we're going to see a tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein's Shu'ut Igrot Moshe Orech Chaim, the second time he approached Orech Chaim issues, Siman Laman Aleph, response number 31. And the question that he's dealing with, this is dated the third of ER of Tavshin Yutin in 1959, is let's say you have a shul where all the members of the shul, all the people who daven in that shul, and really we're going to see in the course of the tshuva, he probably means that all of the people, all the Jews in that town, in those environs, are Kohanim. So what do you do then about Birchat Kohanim? Or what do you do then about the Kohanim giving the priestly blessing? So the first piece of that puzzle is that he says, in order for Birchat Kohanim to be given, in order for Kohanim to be allowed to give Birchat Kohanim, there have to be people to receive the bracha. And he means here, he seems to mean here right now, as far as he's assuming right now, there seem to be non-Kohanim who have to be there to receive the bracha. And the way he knows that, and the way he infers that, is the Gemara in Daf and Sota on Lamed Chet talks about a shul that's full of Kohanim. And what it says there is that Ada says the name Rabbi Simlai, Shekulano Lila Duchan, all the Kohanim Lila Duchan, meaning you'll have a room basically emptied of the men's section is empty. We'll get to, there might be kids there, we're going to get to that. Men's section is emptied of people because all the men in the shul are Kohanim, they are priests. They go up to the Duchan, to the stage, as it were, to deliver the bracha, and they give a bracha. So the problem is, who are they giving the bracha to? So the Gemara there says, Rabbi Zeira says, they're giving a bracha la'acheihen shebasadot, to their brethren in the fields. Meaning the assumption is that in that community, there are non-Kohanim, but it happens to be that the non-Kohanim all work in the fields or at a job, but they're not able to be in shul, and able is a discussion we'll get to a little later in the tshuva, but they're not able to be in the shul that morning. Now, for Ashkenazim, who outside of Israel only give Birchat Kohanim on a chag, you couldn't really have that. But the Gemara is talking about in Eretz Israel, where the practice was and is to give Birchat Kohanim every morning of the week. So you can have people who are at work, you have only Kohanim in shul. The Gemara says, yeah, they go up anyway. Who are they giving the bracha to? They give the bracha to the Jews in the community who are out in the fields. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, you see from that answer that it has to be people from that community, because otherwise the answer should just be, what do you mean they're giving bracha? They're giving bracha to the Jewish people. Right, if the bracha, so you could have said, theoretically you could have said, no, the bracha can only work for the people in that room. But that's not true, because the Gemara's answer is, no, they go up anyway, because they can give the bracha to the Jews who are out in the fields. But once you say they can give the bracha to people who are not physically present, then why not just say they give the bracha to the Jewish people? So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, you see that the bracha, Birchat Kohanim, must be given to the Jews in that community. Now he says, it sounds a little bit like, he's not going to conclude this way, it sounds a little bit like it has to be not only just Jews from that community, but Jews who would go to that shul if they weren't at work, you know, if they weren't out in the fields. But let's suppose there are three shuls in town, and one of the shuls finds itself with only Kohanim on a certain morning. But Moshe Feinstein says the sound of the end, though, so that, and then all the people in the fields would have gone to other shuls were they able to go to shul that morning. He thinks that there would have been room in that Gemara to suggest, he's not going to accept that, but there been room in that Gemara to suggest that they can't give the bracha because there's nobody in that community who's out there to receive the bracha. Now you might have thought, you could say, well, what about giving the bracha? They're giving the bracha to the women and the children who might be present. Meaning the Kohanim have wives, they have children, there may be children, right? They have children. What about them? And now the challenge is, the answer is going to be that they don't count for this purposes for creating the bracha. We'll talk about that in a second. I won't get into it very much. But the reason why he raises it as a question is because they clearly are relevant to the bracha in some sense, because the Gemara does raise the question of who it is who's going to answer Amen, who's going to respond to the bracha. We'll get to that later in the responsum. But the women and the children are going to play that role as far as the Gemara is concerned. But they're not enough to create the bracha on their own. And so there's a Taz and a Magen Avraham there. The Rishfai doesn't go into it. Taz and Magen Avraham give all sorts of reasons as to why it is that they don't count to create the bracha. Possibly they're not required to be there. There's also the kids aren't yet obligated in mitzvahs. All sorts of reasons that we don't get into now. But it surrounds the fact, I think, personally, you can look up the Magen Avraham and the Taz. It's in Kuf Chav Chet. It's in chapter 128 of Orach Chaim. The Taz is paragraph 22, and the Magen Avraham is paragraph 37. You can see their answers. To me, their answers sort of converge on the idea that the bracha is for the public Jewish community, and that the men are the public Jewish community, and the women and the children are not yet the public Jewish community, but we can talk about that another time. So Rav Shavai is willing to entertain the possibility that if there are the Jews in the city, even though they would have gone to other shuls, maybe that's good enough as well, because the Gemara doesn't differentiate. It just says Achim Shabbasadot. It doesn't say Achim Shabbasadot, who would come to this shul of that. Now, theoretically, you could argue, well, the Gemara didn't say that because the Gemara was living in a world where there's only one shul, but the Gemara certainly thought if you were going to go to a different shul, that didn't count, but the Gemara doesn't say it, and therefore we don't have to say that as well. But that we don't make the bracha for other cities, that's clear motion from that language in the Gemara, and that explains to him why the Rambam, the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch, quote the idea that they're giving a bracha l'achayim shabbasadot, meaning why not just codify that a shul that's full of kohanim, they go up to give the bracha anyway. When the Rambam, the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch include the reason that the Gemara gives for how that works, which is that they're giving the bracha for their fellow Jews who are off at work and aren't able to come to shul that morning, Rav Moshe Feinstein says that shows that that has halachic content. That's such a stomach Gemara giving you a nice idea. It's got halachic content that the need for recipients for Achayim Shabbasadot to be there is an important piece, and that means that if you actually have a community where there are no Achayim Shabbasadot, there are no brethren in the fields, there are no other Jews in that town, then you have a challenge as to how you're going to be able to deliver a Birchat Kohanim, because a Birchat Kohanim requires recipients, which I think is such an interesting idea and such an interesting inference of Rosh Feinstein's, that it requires active present recipients, that present, not necessarily in the room, but that there be people specifically. It's not that Kohanim just say, Hashem likes the Jewish people. Hashem likes you Jewish people. Unless those you Jewish people are in some sense there, you can't give the bracha. It's not relevant. And he continues to say, and it's possible, he is willing to attain the possibility that even if there are other Jews in the city, in the town, in the community, but they would daven a different shul, that would also not be good enough. That it has to be Jews who are in some sense there. It may be, the Gemara has been to us, has taught us this novel idea that we can treat Jews in the fields or Jews in business, you know, Jews off at work already, if they're members of this shul, if they're people who would come, by members we mean people who would come to this shul on other occasions, they can count as the presence for the Kohanim to be giving the bracha to, but more than that, not. And so, he's not sure whether within a town that's a relevant consideration, but he's clearly sure that those Jews who are outside that town, outside that community, are not possible recipients of the Birchat Kohanim. Once he says that, then he says, and you know what, I even think that not only do there have to be Jews present, they have to answer Amen. They have to respond and actively accept the bracha. They need a kabbalat ha-bracha. They need a receipt. They need a declaration that they are accepting the bracha and for themselves and on behalf of all the Jews who might, you know, be there. But there has to be such a thing. Why does it so? That means that, he thinks. And one way he says that is because the Gemara makes it clear that it's a chayim shabbasadot because they are in some sense unable to attend the shul. Now, that sense of unable to the shul, I don't think he means they're completely unable. I think he means that the rhythm of the farming life has been set up such that they don't understand that they could maybe set up their life in a different way and make it to shul. Meaning, the way farmers work is the way farmers work, but it's not necessarily the only way farmers could work. So if a farmer tells you, and I personally think this applies to other setups of many, many people in employment, they tell you, no, I couldn't possibly do that. So that's an issue one could question. This is me talking, and I won't do this for long because it's not my place. But if you don't like it, or do like it, grothst@gmail.com. You can email me about it. But, you know, let's say even a doctor, right? Doctor says, well, I got to be in surgery at 7 a.m. That's not quite true. Doctor has to be in surgery at 7 a.m. because that's the way they set up the ORs and this and this and this. There could be a doctor can tell you, I can't change the way the hospitals work. I don't have the power to set up my surgeries differently, and I can't just take afternoon surgeries because I'm more awake or the hospital thinks it's unsafe or whatever. So there could be reasons why you're unable to, but I think there are other situations that I know of, and I've met people where they'll tell you, oh, I have to do this, and it's not really true they have to do this. It's their more convenient way of doing it. But Rav Moshe Feinstein is saying, I think, that that is good enough for our purposes for being considered an anus, being considered unable to show up at shul. But the fact that we need recipients does seem to require that people have to say Amen, he thinks. And he says Amen, he thinks, is even Le'ukuva. And if the people are there and don't respond Amen, that's also a problem that he thinks makes it not work in the way that it's supposed to work. Now, the Prima Gadim, which is a super commentary on Shulchan Aruch, by which I mean that he comments on the Magen Avraham and the Taz. So he comments, right? The Shulchan Aruch says something, they comment, and then he comments. He thinks the Amen is Lav Le'ukuva. He thinks you're not actually required to have an Amen there. That, he says, though, that's the Rav Moshe Feinstein, he says, though, that's only when there aren't people there. But if there are people in the room, then you need an Amen. Prima Gadim thinks there's not necessarily that you have to have an Amen. Now, it happens to be Rav Moshe Feinstein is going to say he's not sure that that's true, because the Yerushalmi in Bracha says, I understand, if all the Kohanim go up to give the Bracha, and they're giving the Bracha to Achehem Shebasadot, to their brethren in the fields, who's going to answer Amen? And the answer is Hanashim V'Hataf, the women and the children. And the Rambam of the Torah Shulchan Aruch mentioned that. And again, for Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Rambam of the Torah Shulchan Aruch mentioned this idea. They're not just mentioning nice ideas. They're telling something that has real halachic content. So, if Amen isn't necessary, why do you need to know that there are women and children present? So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, no, I think an Amen is necessary. So he thinks, A, he disagrees with the Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim held Amen was not for Le'ikuva, wasn't necessary. Rav Moshe Feinstein thinks he only meant, Prima Gadim himself only meant, if no one other than these Kohanim can be present. But if there are people other than the Kohanim present, Rav Moshe Feinstein is sure the Prima Gadim would have agreed that the people who are standing there, the men who are standing there, have to answer Amen. Otherwise, they are, as it were, rejecting the bracha. They're refusing to include themselves in the bracha, and that can't be, that doesn't work, and that can't be right. So he says, he thinks that, it turns out that Amen is a chiyuv de'oraita, which is such an interesting claim, because I had not seen that before I saw this tshuva. He thinks that in the case of Birchat Kohanim, which is an obligation from the Torah, there's an equal obligation from the Torah for the people to answer Amen, because the bracha doesn't fully occur. It's le'ikuva bracha. It stops the bracha from taking place unless you have the Amen. So if the Prima Gadim thought so, in terms of when he says not le'ikuva, that's only when there aren't men present. But even then, Rav Moshe Feinstein thinks that the women and children issue that the Yerushalmi raises and the Rambam and the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch include make clear that no, that Amen really is le'ikuva. That Amen is necessary even if you're not going to have any men present. So it would seem like if you just had, 20 Kohanim in a room and no women and children gave the shul that morning either, it would seem like you'd have a problem as well. And that the Kohanim would not give Birchat Kohanim. So let's be clear. Rav Moshe Feinstein is not talking in theoretical terms and preference. A lot of times we'll say, oh, it's better to do this. But better to do this doesn't mean you can't do it the other way. It means it's better to do this. There are times that happens. That's not what he's talking about here. He thinks that if no one in the room will be there to answer Amen, Rav Moshe Feinstein thinks you can't make the bracha. So he thinks, A, if you don't have any people other than the Kohanim, and the men other than the Kohanim who are in the community to accept the bracha, even if they can't be present, that means you can't make the bracha. And B, thinks that if you don't have anybody to say Amen, you can't make the bracha. So if you have men who go to work, men, non-Kohanim men who go to work, let's say in the fields or let's say in Wall Street, so they're not in shul at 7 o'clock or 6:30 on a Tuesday morning when the Kohanim are going to make a Birchat Kohanim, but one of the Kohanim brings his kid, or a couple of Kohanim bring their children who are not, so that there what you could do for Moshe Feinstein is you could have the Kohanim go up, and the bracha is meant, is primarily aimed at, or is not primarily, it has standing to be given because of the non-Kohanim Jews in that community, and it can be said with in front of with the Amen of the children, because the Amen of the children suffices to stand in as the Kabbalat HaBracha, as the reception of the bracha on behalf of the community. But other than those two, without those two conditions, the presence of recipients as adult males recipients and the presence of an Amen, Rav Moshe Feinstein thinks he can't make Birchas Kohanim. And he makes sure to say that he believes that would be true even if you had men present in the room who were not going to answer Amen. That would still mean you couldn't give the bracha. And his example is, the Torah very explicitly tells of another example where you need an Amen for the bracha to happen. When the Jews crossed the Jordan, the Torah tells us in, I think, Re'eh, and then again in Kitavo, where it describes the ceremony, Torah tells us you put half the people in Ha'Grizim, half the people in Ha'Rival. The Levim turn one way, and they announce a bracha. They turn another way, and they announce a klala. They announce what happens good if we follow the Torah, and then they announce what happens bad if we don't follow the Torah, and the people have to answer Amen. It says, Venu kol ha'am amru, Amen. That Amen was necessary. The Levim wouldn't go on. They would say Amen, people. The bracha and the kalal that take effectively with Amen. So that is an example for Moshe Feinstein, what he believes is true of Birkat Kohanim as well, based on, the Torah doesn't say it about the Amen there, but based on the way the Gemara treats it, and the way the Rambam, the Torah, and the Shulchan Aruch paskin it, that's his understanding of the way Birkat Kohanim works, which, just if you allow me to pause and insert a little bit of Jewish thought ideas, which then means that the bracha is not just a passive experience that Hashem gives us a bracha. If Hashem just wants to give us a bracha, Hashem can give us a bracha. It's more that, and this I've thought on my own other occasions, that's why I'm excited to see Rav Moshe Feinstein saying something that halachically makes it even more true. It's that the Jewish people are supposed to know that Hashem wants to give them a bracha. And the way the Jewish people know that Hashem wants to give us a bracha is that the representatives of Hashem, one of the important roles of Kohanim in the Jewish people, is that they represent Hashem. The representatives of Hashem stand before us as a people. They announce the bracha that Hashem gives us, is looking to give us, we receive it. Now, receive it doesn't mean we accept the bracha. It means we declare our understanding and our belief and our acceptance of the truth that. That's what I mean is. Yes, that's true. What do you mean, yes, that's true? It's true, Hashem. We know now that Hashem wants to give us bracha. So, for Moshe Feinstein, it's the whole ceremony that's the bracha. Right? It's not like it's not just some metaphysical way to give the Jewish people a better life. Because for that, Hashem could just do it on his own. What's the need for this whole thing? It's, as far as I understand it, and how the Rosh Hashanah's halakhic setup is supporting that idea, it's that we should know about it. And to know about it, you need to have non-Kohanim who know about it. You have to have non-blessing givers who know about it and who actively declare their receipt and their knowledge of it. Part of the Kiddush is that you can separate those two, where you can have the people who know about it or who are the recipients of it be off at work, but they're nonetheless the recipients and they know that it's going on. And then you have the active declaration of the understanding that this is what's happening being done by other people, by the women and the children. That's part of the Kiddush of Moshe Feinstein. So part of the issue that the Taz raises, Moshe Feinstein points out, is that how can women and children give the Amen if they're not really the direct targets of the bracha, for the reasons that he gave before that we're not going to get into. But the answer is, he says, because they get the bracha as well. Because it's not in any way the bracha is directed at the men. It's that the men, as I said before, I think, the men cut through the public community in technical ways as well that the Taz and the Magen Avraham talk about. So this is a public ceremony to declare a public aspect of Hashem's relationship with the Jewish community. For that, there has to be a public Jewish community there. Women and children, for various reasons, are not part of that public Jewish community. But it's not only for the public community the bracha goes. The bracha goes on all Jews, and women and children are equally Jews as much as the men. So therefore, their amen is to a bracha that they're included in, even if it's not, would not have started with them. So what are you going to do? So Moshe Feinstein is going to hope that the solution lies in having some of the Kohanim not give the bracha and serve as the audience for the bracha. So even though it's a shul or a town completely made up of Kohanim, and therefore you might think we have no way of delivering the bracha because there's no recipients of the bracha, his basic solution is going to be, let's turn some of the Kohanim into the recipients. They won't give the bracha. There's two challenges to that he's going to have to deal with. Challenge number one they have to deal with is, it's not clear actually in halacha that this bracha applies to the Kohanim. Right? When the Kohanim say, Yivrach Shevi Yishmerecha, does that declare a bracha that applies to all Jews or only to non-Kohanim Jews? So if Moshe Feinstein points out, he thinks there's a Gemara in Chulin on Daf Mem Tet, where Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva have a dispute about the meaning of a phrase in the Torah that Rav Moshe Feinstein is arguing, and I think, you know, convincingly, is arguing affects whether or not we see Kohanim as included in the bracha. When Hashem lays out Birchat Kohanim, after telling us the bracha, the pasuk says v'samu et shmi al bnei Yisrael, if something like that. I hope I'm not misquoting. The Kohanim will place Hashem's name on the Jewish people. Va'ani avarechem. And I will bless them. Now, I is a pronoun, but that's an easy one. It refers to Hashem. Avarechem will bless them. So Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva disagree as to who that means. Rabbi Shmuel says that shows that this is a bracha for the Kohanim. And Bani Avarechem means I will bless the Kohanim. So that would, one way to read it, theoretically one could argue that Hashem will separately give them a bracha, but another way to read it is that I'll include them, the Kohanim, in this bracha. That the Kohanim declare the bracha for the Jewish people, that applies to the Jewish people, and Hashem is saying, and in addition, I'll apply it to them, even though it's theoretically not about them because they're talking to other people, but I'll include them in it. So then, you could say what his idea is going to be in a minute. That the Kohanim, some of the Kohanim can sit down, as long as they're allowed to sit down, they're clearly included in the bracha, and then you don't have a problem. Rabbi Akiva, it's more difficult because Rabbi Akiva says Ani Yevarchei means that Hashem is saying the Kohanim will declare the bracha, and then I'll promise, and then I'll bless, I'll give the bracha to the Jewish people. So if that's true, then the Kohanim seem to be completely excluded from this bracha. So how did Kohanim get a bracha from Hashem? How did Kohanim get blessings from Hashem? That would come from a different pasuk in the Torah. When Avram Avinu is being told to go to Eretz Yisrael, because Parshat Lech Lecha, Hashem says to him, Vavarecha mivarechecha. I, Hashem, promise to give a bracha to whoever blesses you, Avram. But you, Avram, I mean you, Avram, are your descendants. So in that reading, the Kohanim get a bracha for sure on the basis of giving Birchat Kohanim, but their bracha is because the act of giving a bracha to descendants of Avraham is itself an act that earns a bracha. If that's true, though, it would imply that Kohanim are not included in Birchat Kohanim itself. They get a bracha from someplace completely different, and then you'd have a challenge to say, let them be the audience for this bracha. So that's where we're heading. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, I hear that. But I think that even for Rabbi Akiva, it's only Kohanim who are delivering the bracha who can't be included. Because if you're the conduit for Hashem's bracha to the Jewish people, if you are the vehicle through which Hashem is going to declare and let the Jewish people know that Hashem gives a bracha to the Jewish people, so then maybe Rabbi Akiva says, yeah, you're not included. But if you're not doing anything, if you're just sitting there, the fact that you're theoretically a Kohen, I don't see, Rav Moshe Feinstein doesn't see any reason why those Kohanim, even according to Rabbi Akiva, wouldn't be included in it, because they're not functioning as Kohanim in that sense. So, if they didn't go up to the Dukhan, so for example, they are Kohanim who are Psulim, Lenesiat Kapayim, Mishnah Megillah. Rav Moshe Feinstein doesn't tell us who they are. I can tell you that Mishnah Megillah talks about people who have certain visible blemishes, and the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah there is, even if they just have certain kinds of paint on them that's so visible that it'll be distracting to people, they're not supposed to go up to the Dukhan. They're not supposed to go up to give Birchat Kohanim. And once I had a Kohen call me, who I think was a diabetic, and was, you know, had to have some toes amputated. And he wanted to know if he was going to be able to do Birchat Kohanim anymore. Since he wears socks, people weren't going to be able to see it, but is that enough of a blemish that he wouldn't be allowed to do Birchat Kohanim? So it's a very heartbreaking question. I asked Posek, who told me that no, he thinks he can, and he doesn't have to worry about it. But there's certainly Kohanim who cannot go up to the Dukhan. So an example would be a Kohen who has blemishes. Another example might be, let's say you have a Kohen who, for whatever reason, is not able to talk anymore. He's really not able to speak, or it's whatever. Right? So would Rabbi Akiva say that Kohen doesn't get any bracha from Hashem? So Rav Moshe Feinstein says he thinks it's clearly not true, that Rabbi Akiva is talking about the Kohanim who are up there on the Dukhan. So as long as there are Kohanim who are not on the Dukhan, they would be included in this bracha. Not from Va'avarecha Mivarecha, from that Hashem will bless whoever gives a blessing to Jewish people, but from just the ordinary bracha, being recipients of the bracha. The challenge is that it doesn't seem that we're allowed to let Kohanim not go up to the Dukhan. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi in that same Gemara in Sota says, any Kohen who doesn't give a bracha, eino mitbarech, doesn't get a bracha. So that sounds like you have to go up. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says that's only when he's obligated to go up and he's violating the Torah. Hashem told Kohanim, when there's an opportunity to bless the Jewish people, this is one of your jobs as Kohanim. So a Kohen, Rav Yehuda ben Levi say, a Kohen, he chooses not to do that, then he can't do it. Then he doesn't get a bracha. And by the way, that's a special detail of the law. I mean, it's not like we say Kohanim weren't religious enough, can't go up. We say Kohanim go up, and it's just sort of ex officio. It's by virtue of being a Kohen, even if they're in many other ways not the best Jews, they go up. So why would you think that their refusal to go up would mean they don't get a bracha? The answer is that's part of the bracha process. He's obligated to give a bracha. He refuses to give a bracha. He can't be included in the bracha, right? Not from Kohanim, not from Hashem. But, so, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, but if there's a situation where, in fact, the Kohen is putter, in fact, the Kohen doesn't have to go up, so, for example, let's say nobody said Kohanim go up, so there's no call to go up, and he didn't go up, and nobody told him to, so then he doesn't go up anymore because it's too late. Or let's say he walked into shul too late to go up. Or let's say a Kohen had work in the fields that he couldn't get away from, or work in a hospital he couldn't get away from, or work in Wall Street, whatever it is, right? So there are Kohanim who don't go up. Do you think Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi means those Kohanim as well? Doesn't make sense to Rav Moshe Feinstein. He thinks no. He thinks that the Rav Moshe ben Levi was talking to the Kohanim who were present, who could have gone up, who were obligated to go up, and they didn't go up, so then they can't get a bracha by virtue of their special status and their obligation to give the bracha. Now he points out, By the way, if you have Jews who choose not to get the bracha, regular Jews, right? He's talking about Kohanim who choose not to go up but could have gone up. Why not talk about Jews, ordinary Jews, who could have gone to get the bracha and choose not to go to the bracha, right? The Gemara talks about Acheim Shebasadot. Some Acheim Shebasadot might be fully coerced and couldn't have come to shul. But some Acheim Shebasadot could have, and they just chose not to. So why not say they're not Bichlal Bracha? So the answer is Anisim Malachtan Av She'ein Ze Ones Gamor. I would say, even though it's not a complete onus, not a complete coercion, it's enough. And therefore, they can be included. But with Kohanim, who have an obligation to come, maybe you could argue that unless they had a complete coercion that kept them away, they also wouldn't be included, according to Rabbi Akiva. But, says Rav Moshe, if there are no Jews in this shul, there are no ordinary Jews, no non-Kohanim Jews in this shul, and in the fields, right? There's nobody in this community, so the bracha has no place to go, and then you're going to have 20 Kohanim in shul, and there's going to be no bracha at all. So then he thinks that you're allowed to split up the Kohanim, so that you can have people giving the bracha, people receiving the bracha. Now you'll say to me, well, the Kohanim who are receiving the bracha aren't going up. Aren't they in trouble because they had to go up? The answer is no, because unless they set out, nobody could go up. So therefore, they're not Kohanim who can go up, and therefore they're not obligated to go up. So therefore, Moshe Feinstein thinks that that's a solution. You could have some of the Kohanim sit out, and the others call him go up, and that will be a way to let the bracha be possible. And the Kohanim who are sitting out are not in any way violating anything, and therefore Yishuv and Levi's stricture about them, they shouldn't get a bracha, should easily not apply, because they are an essential part of letting the bracha happen. Many said, but I think there's an important distinction, because Kohanim aren't generally included in this bracha in this way. So if you had a shul, let's say, which had two non-Kohanim in it, and 8 or 9 or 10, not 8, let's say 9 or 10 or 11 or 50 Kohanim, how would Birchat Kohanim look? So there, it's clear. The 50 Kohanim would go up, and the two non-Kohanim would serve as the audience. And they would get the bracha, even though it's only two, but since they are deserving of the bracha, since they are, common, usual recipients of this bracha, that would be good enough, and that's what you would do. But in a case where you're going to have even one Jew, by the way, it doesn't have to be two, I just like the number two better than one. But if you're going to have Kohanim become the audience, Rav Moshe Feinstein thinks you need to have 10 of them be the audience. He's not quite clear to me about why that is. I think what he means is that since they're not natural recipients of this bracha, it's not that they're not allowed to become recipients, but then in order to establish them as recipients of the bracha, he thinks you need a minyan. In other words, you'll combine two things. You'll have a representative piece of the Jewish community, a minyan, 10, which is considered an eidah. So an eidah sort of has the right to a bracha. And so the fact that their kohanim can be ignored. But then let's say you had 11 kohanim and 6 went up and 5 sat down. Those 5 sitting there aren't an obvious recipient community. You'd say, well, 5 regular Jews would be a recipient community. That's because they're regular Jews who are ordinarily part of this bracha. But since these kohanim are trying to establish themselves as recipients, he thinks you need a minyan. So he thinks, for example, if you had exactly 10 kohanim, you couldn't use any of his ideas. You couldn't have birchas kohanim. You just wouldn't have birchas kohanim. You'd go on as if there were no kohanim in the room. You'd have no birchas kohanim. If you have 11, you could have one kohen go up and give the bracha, and the other 10 would be the community recipients of Kohanim, who would not have any halakhic problems for not going up because they couldn't create the bracha unless they stay down. They can be therefore not able to go up and can be included in this bracha, even according to Rabbi Akiva, in Rav Moshe Feinstein's understanding, and that's the way you create it. So, as a simple answer to the question, if you have a city, a shul, a community with only Kohanim, Rav Moshe Feinstein thinks you can't have Birchas Kohanim unless 10 Kohanim stay in the audience as the community that's receiving the bracha, and the rest of the Kohanim go up. But along the way, he's told us many things about the structure of Birchas Kohanim, about the fact that he understands Birchas Kohanim to require recipients. I think a chiddush, I don't mean an idea that isn't true. I think it's fully true, but an idea we might not have thought of on our own. And then also, that you need to have an amen. You need to have some presence of people who are going to respond amen to the bracha. Otherwise, it also cannot occur. So that is Rav Moshe Feinstein for the third day of Iyar, teaching us important things about the Birchas Kohanim, helping us see that Birchas Kohanim is actually a give and take between Hashem and the Jewish people, or between Hashem's representatives and the Jewish people. Unless you can have both sides of the a ceremony there, the ceremony cannot occur. You need to have those declaring the bracha on behalf of Hashem, and those declaring their understanding and acceptance of the bracha on behalf of those people in that community who will be the recipients. And then the third kiddush is that Kohanim can establish themselves as the recipients, even though ordinarily they are not the recipients of that bracha according to Rabbi Akiva. They can nonetheless establish themselves that way if they have a minion of Kohanim, 10 Kohanim, doing so. That's a response of the day for the third day of Iyar. I am actually finishing under 30 minutes. My name is Gideon Rustin. Thank you to the Row U, Trevor Jack Abramowitz, David Hochhauser. Have a great day.